Thank you very much.
I'm very excited for the opportunity to speak for the alumni and to speak before the beginning of the workday. It should be a siman tov, as we're going to discuss. It should be a siman tov that the day should bring only good things and successes. This idea of having simonim has to strike us during the 9 days and the upcoming 3 weeks as well. We have Mishneh Berurah on page number one, source number one, it's really Shulchan Aruch, that quotes a Mishneh Mishenichnas Ov Matin B'Simcha, that when Rosh Chodesh Ov comes in, we know that that's when we lessen the amount of Simcha that we normally engage in. And then Shulchan Aruch goes on to quote, the Gemara says, what Rav Papa says, V'kad Yisrael, Ubar Yisrael, the Islay Dina Baharikute, Lishtamit Minei Dereya Mazle. That if a person, the first halacha of the 9 days, is that if a person, if a Jew has a court case with a non-Jew, so then one should wait till after Tisha B'Av. One should hold off till, some say, till after the middle of the month, but the general minhag is to wait till after Tisha B'Av. If God forbid a person has elective surgery, someone would not have it during the 9 days. We have a practice that if a person should not engage in any greater risk than they normally engage in. Right? There's a level of risk which is not permissible to engage in. That's what Gemara says, that Kevin Shadoshu Meirabim, when most people engage in something, that's permissible. But to engage in something which most people don't do, so that's a level of risk which is not allowed. But there's a level of risk which we're allowed to engage in. That's a Doshu Meirabim. People do it all the time. And nevertheless, it is a higher level of risk than I normally engage in. So one would not do that during the 9 days. For example, some kind of elective surgery, some kind of surgery which is need not have to get done during this time. So the question that we raise is that we're familiar with the Pasuk in Chumash of Lo Se'oneinu. You have it on the third page, number 3a. Pasuk in Kedoshim. Lo sochlu al adam, lo sinachashu v'lo se'oneinu. Lo sinachashu means that we cannot appoint for ourselves various kinds of magic, both incantations and indications. Lo se'oneinu is we cannot appoint certain times for ourselves. Rashi says, what's an example of lo sinachashu? G'gon elu minachashin betoldom v'chulda. A person is going on the Route 17 and a deer jumps in front of him. Baruch Hashem, he swerved and he didn't hit the deer. So is that the Siman Ra, right? Is the forerunner of the black cat. So it would be, so it's usur for a person to say, well, since I was driving in Route 17 and a deer came out in front of me and Baruch Hashem, everything's okay. But this is not a good thing. Not a good day today. I'm not going to do any major business today. Just relax in Starbucks, not doing anything significant, because this tzvi. So that would be also to do that. To all of a sudden sit down in Starbucks and cancel all your appointments. That would be also. That's the Easter of Lo Sinachashu. Then we have the din of Lo Se'oneinu. So what's Lo Se'oneinu? That's the ona refers to times. So Rashi says, if a person says Yom Ploni Yofel Aschil Melacha, Sho Ploni is Kosher. Let's say the person says Friday the 13th. He arranges all his appointments, so he shouldn't have. I don't know. Does this building have a 13th floor in the elevator?
No.
So that would be. So that would be questionable. Is that a good practice? That's probably not correct to skip the 13th floor. There's a comedian who says that if a guy's jumping from the 14th, he should tell him there's no 13th. He should go up another floor. So the to have your schedule organized around Friday the 13th. Yeah, if a doctor wants to see you, say not on the 13th. That would be also. That's a violation of Lo Se'oneinu. Person says I don't do certain things in certain hours. Ever since I was a kid, whenever I did anything after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it didn't work out well. It's called homework. So I don't do anything after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That would be a violation of Lo Se'oneinu. So the question is, we just said that comes Rosh Chodesh Av, And then we're supposed to take out our calendars and block off all non-essential work. Right? I wouldn't say. We would block off any non-essential surgery. We would block off that if we have some type of litigation. So we would say, let's wait, litigation with another Jew is a mitzvah to work things out correctly, to go to a din Torah and have, work it out that I shouldn't owe money, I shouldn't have money which doesn't belong to me. So that's good to take care of during the 9 days. But if it's litigation beyond that, so then we would not do it during the 9 days. Isn't that a violation of lo se'onenu? We have, for example, what other situations do we have where Minhag Yisrael does identify certain times? What else do we have? We know that on Tisha B'Av itself, so Tisha B'Av historically, retrospectively, wasn't good for us, right? The Tisha B'Av, we know that was the first base of Mikdash, that was the second base of Mikdash. There were important dates of the Inquisition were on Tisha B'Av. So we know retrospectively that it's not a good time for us. But to take it the next step and to say, and therefore, there's certain things that I would engage in, so that, so the question is that why is that permissible? Why is that the first halacha of Shulchan Aruch? If you look at the Rambam, the concern does seem to be easily dismissed. Because the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches, Halacha Ches, says, Ezu Ma'oinein, what is this violation of Lo Soneinu? This is number four. Okay, number four. Ezu Ma'oinein, what's considered to be a person who violates this using time to foretell certain things? Elu Nosne itim sheomrim bitstagninus yom ploni tov yom ploni ra yom ploni roi la sozbo milocha plonis shona plonis achonish ploni valid dover ploni. So the Rambam says that it's a person who uses astrology to figure out good times and bad times. In the next halacha, he says, "Osela onen afal pi shelo osa masa." It is also to use times, even if we don't act on it, elo dia osan, but they are indicated to us. Hakozim shaksilim v'damim shem divri emes v'divri chachamim. But those people who do false things. So the Rambam seems to say that it depends on the source. If it comes from astrology, then it's not permissible. If it comes from kozvim, shaksilim midamim, shem divri emes v'divri chachamim. If it comes from a false source, even though there might be people that the Rambam does not have any respect for them, who says it really comes from Chazal, it comes from divri emes. Kol osen mipneyo tzagninus. A person who does something based in astrology, v'kivin malachter lichoso, but also eis shekovu chovrei shemayim harizeh loike shenema loise onenu. So a person who bases activities on certain specific sources. So apparently the Rambam says the violation of loise onenu would be if I follow instructions from inappropriate sources. If I follow instructions, and that's why the Rambam records Lasonenu in the context of Hilchas Avodah Zarah. The Rambam saw Lasochlu al Adam as a practice, not the prohibition of having certain kinds of dishes that had blood in them. So that was a violation of a practice of idolatry, of paganism. So the Rambam sees the violation of Lo Soneinu only if it comes from some kind of pagan practice, or some kind of, let's say, the zodiac, which would be based on Avodah Zarah. But if a person would follow from the Rambam, that if a person has an instruction from Chazal, if it's from our sources, then it's not a problem of Lo Soneinu. If it comes from the Nevi'im, then the Nevi'im say that there are certain days that were difficult for Klal Yisrael. We fast in those days. right? So according to Rambam, the issue is fairly clear, right? The Rambam would say if a person in his own mind figured out that the 11th hour is not a good time for him, right? The very end of the halachas of the 3 weeks says that a person should not walk alone. We don't practice this; it's not commonly practiced. From Sov Zman Kriya Shema till Mincha Ketana. That's a pretty big chunk of the daytime. During the 3 weeks, those hours are not good for us, right? So the Rambam would say that's not based on a pagan source, on a non-Jewish source. That's based on some kind of Kabbalistic source. So that's kosher. That's not a problem. So the Rambam understood Lo Sondein. It was only if it attracts us or connects us with a source that's very distant from us. But according to Rambam, it's fairly clear. Go ahead. Right. That's why I was careful to say that depends on which aspects of the zodiac where it would come from. If it's the idea of the constellations, so you're right, we don't understand it, I don't understand it, but Chazal do point out that there are aspects of the zodiac, that every month has a mazel. Right, there's a certain constellation of stars, and there are ideas that are based on that. So the Rambam would say that's entirely kosher v'yosher. Right? So according to Rambam, the source. Right? That idea does not make it down to Shulchan Aruch. Go ahead.
Is there not in the Talmud somewhere it says, Ein Mazal Yisrael?
Right.
There was some question about people being born from days or something, and then there was a response about Ein Mazal Yisrael.
Right.
So how does that fit in?
The idea of Ein Mazal Yisrael means that the Jewish people, and both as a group and as individuals, so our lot is not cast by various constellations. Right? On the other hand, the Gemara does indicate that a person can have a propensity to do something. The Rambam writes, all people have three categories of qualities. We have qualities that we have... have as part of our nature, and qualities that we acquire, and that are easy for us to acquire, and qualities that are very difficult for us to acquire. So, having a certain being born in some kind of constellation, so the Rambam would say that means that we may have a propensity for some kind of activity. It may mean that we have it becomes harder for us to negotiate, right? A person may have, just as an example, a person may have a temper, according to Chazal, if he's born at a certain time. All right? That doesn't mean it's permissible to be a chazan, to be an angry person. It means he may have or she may have a greater test in life, a greater challenge to overcome. At the same time, a person, that same person, maybe because he has a temper, maybe a very passionate person. So we can use that passion to be concerned about people. So in Mazal Yisrael means that Kadosh Baruch Hu will never let a Jew say, this is the way I was born, and this is who I am, and this is what I am, and therefore my lot in life is cast, and I do not have to confront certain challenges. The Ron Shul may say, is because I have a certain temperament, so therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu will judge me in a different way. If I am successful in reining in, if I'm a passionate person with I'm a loose cannon, a short fuse, and I manage to, over time, to control myself, so I have much greater schar. I have much greater. And then, if I'm as a result, I'm able to channel that passion into positive things. So so Kadosh Baruch Hu will look at me favorably, as opposed to a person who was born as a placid person. Nothing excites him. Right, nothing so he doesn't have the same desire. On the other hand, he's not going to have the same passion. So that's what a Mazal Yisrael means, right? That we don't allow ourselves the luxury of those kinds of excuses. We see them as maybe greater challenges. So the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this detail in the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says one cannot use times as indications, irrespective of where those times come from. Rashi, when he quotes this, when he discusses the pasuk Lo Sa'oneinu, so Rashi associates the idea of Tamim Tiyah Shem Lekecha. We have to be Lo Sechaku Alo Asidos. We're not supposed to try to figure out what's going to happen in the future. We're supposed to do what we have to do. And Davin, it'll go well. We're not supposed to try to to figure out that that at a certain time, so I had mazel that I have closed very good deals at 1:30 in the afternoon. So now my calendar is 1:30, so I meet new clients. That would, Rashi would say, the Rambam would say, that's not a problem. It's not based on astrology, it's based on paganism. And Rashi would say, no, that's the violation of Lo Sonenu. So as we say in the Gemara, Hodra Kusha Leduchta, the question comes back. Whereas according to Rambam, it's very, very neat. Something which comes from Chazal, which comes from our sources, so we can run with it. And according to Rashi, Rashi is not in the Shulchan Aruch, that clear distinction does not make it through. So we have to figure out, when is it permissible and when is it really a form of superstition? So I want to go back to raise another question. And that, if we go back to the second page, not counting the cover page, where it says number two. So there the Mishneh Berurah points out another practice which we're all aware of because it hits us before the 9 days, right? We don't schedule weddings during the 3 weeks, right? There used to be a time when we didn't schedule weddings from Pesach to Shavuos, right? That was the, however, it was one of the game changers of Rav Moshe Feinstein that he publicized the idea that as long as it's permissible for the Chassan and Kala to make a wedding, so then people can attend. So that's why after Moshe penned that Shuva, so if a person keeps the morning part of Svira from Rosh Chodesh to Shavuos, then he can make a wedding before Rosh Chodesh and people can attend. If a person keeps the morning part from Pesach to Lag BaOmer, so he can make the wedding after Lag BaOmer, everybody can attend. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, together with the caterers lobby, is very successful, and in probably the 3 weeks the caterers haven't gotten to yet, and Rav Moshe couldn't help them out. So there are no weddings during the 3 weeks. So why are there no weddings during the 3 weeks? So I say intuitively, it's not a good time. The Mishneh Berurah forces the issue. He says, what happens if you have a young man and young woman who have not yet any children? And it's a mitzvah to get married. A mitzvah to have children. A mitzvah deraisa. Right? And that mitzvah, as far as certainly the early texts are concerned, as the Rishonim are concerned, would certainly override the mourning of the 3 weeks. So why don't we get married in the 3 weeks? Was that? So, nevertheless, for example, real Avelos, it's Docha. Even though it's a Hechsher Mitzvah. It's still the Mitzvah of getting married, is still a Mitzvah. But the Halacha is, and the Gemara is, if people haven't had children yet, they get married during Shloshim. So we don't practice that, right? But that's the Halacha. So why not during the three weeks? So the Mishneh Berurah quotes a Shavuos Yaakov, Yaakov Reisher from the late 1600s, early 1700s. And the Mishneh Berurah says, because le mesam the milsa, because it's not a good simon, right? The Mishneh Berurah writes in Sif Kotten Yudalid that person who what the Mishneh Berurah is addressing over here is that during the 3 weeks people can do anything for a wedding. We normally would not build a chuppah for a wedding. We wouldn't buy new clothes during the 3 weeks. But tzorach mitzvah tzmutter. So Mishneh Berurah says, what's the tzorach mitzvah? So he apparently is addressing your question of that's only Hechsher mitzvah. He says, kagon, shein li shuv onim. Vein li beis chasenes. Mutar liv knows beis chasenes. He's not married yet, doesn't have children yet. So then it's permissible to arrange whatever you have to arrange for the wedding. The medina, because as far as the din is concerned, afilu nisuin, even to get married, mutter. And our practice not to get married, it's just not a good sign. Getting married after Tisha B'Av. So therefore, a person can do everything they have to do during the 3 weeks to prepare for this wedding. Then they should not engage in this part of the mitzvah, in this Hechsher mitzvah either. So the Mishneh Berurah says, and it's again, it comes from the Shavuos Yaakov, is because of the Mesam the Milsa. Right? It's an interesting question. Rav Moshe addresses this question. Rav Moshe Feinstein addresses this question. A person has elective surgery. In other words, that as far as the doctors are concerned, that there's no compromise in health if it gets done today, next week, or 2 months from now. Right? So Rav Moshe said we would tell the person not to have the surgery during the 9 days. Would we tell them that to avoid the entire 3 weeks? He says, no. Why not? What's the difference? Once you see this Mishnah Berurah. Right, a person, there's a debate amongst the poskim whether a person can engage in risky activity during the 3 weeks. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, Yoshev Shlita, they say that swimming in, let's say, in river swimming, swimming in the Yarden, so that's a risky activity. So they say apparently it's permissible, not that risky, but not during the 3 weeks. They don't say just the 9 days. Our common practice in America is that we limit any risky activity during the 9 days. But during the 3 weeks, I don't think that somebody would ask me, can I go on a vacation to Tiyul? Can I fly someplace during the 9 days? So I would say, if it's for a mitzvah, you're allowed to fly during the 9 days. If it's for business purposes, so then you have to, if you can push it off, better to push it off. If you can't, then you can go. But if it's for pleasure, if it's for a trip, then not during the 9 days. During the 3 weeks, I think the common practice is that we would not make that kind of restriction. Right? So what happened? How did we figure this one? How do we say that during the 9 days, we would avoid any kind of risky activity? During the 9 days, we would not engage in litigation. During the 3 weeks, well, we would engage in litigation. We would be allowed to have elective surgery, but we wouldn't get married. So how do we figure that? So I was thinking, and the truth is that this really is in the tshuva of the Shavuos Yaakov as well. There are certain things that Klal Yisrael, and it's a good source, but it comes from a Gemara, that we try to do with good simonim. There is a concept that we're very familiar with, that simonim milsa. Right? When do we practice simonim milsa? Right? Rosh Hashanah night, right? The apple with the honey. What are we doing there? None of us really, really believe that if we have honey the first night of Rosh Hashanah, we're good for the year. Right? We can be a misanthrope, we'll become the sweetest guy if he has honey the first night. We don't really believe that, right? We have the head of the fish, right? But the Gemara says simonim milsa, that is something significant. Right? There are certain times when else do we have simonim? Right? When we organize a wedding. So the Rama says, this is also catered to not at all. The Rama says try to get married in the first when the moon is on its ascendancy, the first half of the month. So we would try to do that, right? Again, does that become a deal breaker? Does that become if it means pushing off the wedding for an entire month? We probably would not say that, right? If it becomes much more expensive to have the wedding in the first half of the month, so we'd say have it in the second half of the month. But lechanchila, initially, if we're looking at dates, and the first half is doesn't introduce any significant difficulty. Say that's the Ramah rice. Ascendancy of the moon, we should have, we should get married then, right? So, and there are very good sources for it. The first sugi in Ksuvas. The Gemara says that it was a good idea to get married on Thursday night, right? Because that's the bracha of the fish was given to us on Friday, right? That that fish multiply the siman tov for the couple. So it goes back to the Gemara. So we do use siman. We don't say it's superstitious. The Gemara has it. So when do we say, right? So this Shavuos Yaakov points out that there is a, I would say there's an approach. It begins with the Gemara, and the Rambam says it very clearly in Yeridaya, that the Gemara says, Isha bias v'tinok simonim milsa. Right? Yesh simon l'tinok bias v'isha. Right? The Gemara in Chulin, I think, said Idalim and Beis. what does that mean exactly? When it comes to getting married, establishing a new home, and children, so then simanim are of value. So they're different interpretations. The Rishonim understand it to be that they can be the source of a siman. Right? So the Rambam understands it. The Gemara says that if you meet a kid in the street and you ask him, what are you going to cheder today? So that's, so depending on what the kid says, that could be a good siman or not a good siman, right? If the kid says, we learned today the sugya of Shorsha Nogah Chasapar, we learned all about torts, that's not such a good siman, right? But if the kid says, today we learned that that a person who milsa, right? That a person who wins the sweepstakes and keep the money, all right, that's a good siman, right? So sokli pesukecha, what pasuk learned today? So the kid comes up with a pasuk from the teichacha, that's not such a good situation. Comes up with a pasuk of one of the brachos, baruch atah b'tzisecha, baruch v'yecha, that's a good siman. So you can use a home, you can use a person gets married, Baruch Hashem, and he realizes that Baruch Hu gave him great siyata d'shemaya, and it's a wonderful zivik. That's a siman tov, right? That's what the Kabbalists would call, even the Rambanu, ha'oras panim. Baruch Hu showed us he's taking care of us, he's concerned about us. So that's one pshat, and you can use a bias. You can use a person that had good mazel in a certain home, so he becomes a mazelic place, so that's permissible. Other Rishonim say that the pshat in bayis isha v'tinok means that if several good things happen right after I buy a house, if several good things happen right after I get married, in addition to being married and Shemar Brachas, right? So that is that's a good siman, right? But the Shvus Yaakov understood this, and this really goes back to the Ramah, because the Ramah is a one-liner. The Ramah says, even though we cannot do nichosh, we can do simonim. Right? We can't do nichosh, we can't do magic, we can do simonim. Right? So the understanding is that apparently I'm allowed, it's permissible, this would be the Minig Ashkenaz, that the Ramah is, that the Shvus Yaakov points out, that I'm not allowed to make absolute decisions based on time, based on the ascendancy of the month. Right? I can't say, well, I'm not going to get married this month, because I can't find a date during the beginning. That would be Nichosh. To say, I have a preference to get married in the first half of the month, because that's a Siman Tov, that's permissible. Right? A person can't say that if the only time you can meet me is on Rosh Chodesh, it's supposed to be a Siman Tov. Right? That's why yeshiva is set learning always in Rosh Chodesh. It comes to the remote right there. So a person can say, I'm only going to meet you in Rosh Chodesh. That would be Nichosh. To say, look, I'm going to meet during this week. Let's meet in Rosh Chodesh. Let's try to work it out. That's a siman. All right? That's permissible. I'm not making a decision. What's really a siman? A siman really is a form of davening. When we sit down Rosh Hashanah night and we take the honey with the apple, what are we doing? It's a different way of davening. We're saying the Rabbanu Shalom Yiratzon. So we're doing there are different forms of davening. There's davening with a siddur, a peh, but there's another kind of davening. In fact, the Mechilta writes that the shofar is a siman. The shofar is a different kind of davening, a different kind of prayer. So to say I want to get married during the ascendancy of the month, that means that I want to have an additional prayer during an additional tefillah. So in the same token, by avoiding a difficult time, so then that's also a prayer, because Baruch Hu should give me extra shmirah. So therefore I want to avoid a siman ra, so to speak. So now, let's just summarize what we pointed out. I think that the difference between the 3 weeks and the 9 days is that during the 3 weeks, and then again, this comes from the Shvus Yaakov, if there are items that Chazal said you're allowed to use simonim to daven for those items, the beginning of the year, Chazal said simonim milsa, you're allowed to use this kind of a prayer. That's okay. Chazal said when it comes to to having a new home. The interpretation of Shavuos Yaakov, different from many of the Rishonim, is I'm allowed to use a simon for my home. I'm allowed to say, you know what, I want to move in on a Tuesday. Because Tuesday is a day that has two ketos, right? I want to move in on a Rosh Chodesh. You're allowed to. You can't make it as a breaker. I'll only move in. But you're allowed to say, if all things are equal, let's prefer to you, because I'm allowed to use a simon. And I'm allowed to use a simon for when I'm going to get married. I'm allowed to use a simon for when it comes to various important decisions for our children. So that's the chiddush that the Rambam and the Shavuos Yaakov have. So when it comes to items that we're allowed to use simonim to daven for them, then we avoid the 3 weeks, right? Because the 3 weeks is not a good simon. It's not a good items that. We are not, the Chazal didn't say we're allowed to use simonim for them, let's say surgery. Right? So then I shouldn't be using the 3 weeks as a determining factor. Right? Only bias, tinok, ve'isha, Chazal said I can use a simon. The 9 days is a time which Chazal said this is just not a good time for us. And therefore, I should avoid any greater risk or any kind of litigation. What I want to finish off with is I was very excited to find a source in the very last page for this idea. Right? So again, so what we said so far is that we do find that there are times that are set aside for good and for bad. We said that according to Rambam, the only violation if it's some kind of pagan source. They have other Rishonim say otherwise. Shulchan Aruch says any kind of nichush using times, even if they're not based on Avodah Zarah, we shouldn't use. So why is it that we're allowed to use certain times? So so we've now had the two kinds of categories. One category is, well, when I'm allowed to seek out simonim as a form of prayer, so then I should avoid the 3 weeks altogether. However, even when I'm not allowed to use simonim as a form of prayer, then I should still stay away from the 9 days and stay away from where does that come from? So there's a beautiful Or HaChaim that goes back to the very first mitzvah we were given. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Nisan is the first of all the months. Rishonu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. It's the first of all the months. It is a very, very very wordy pasuk. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This month for you is the beginning of all months. Rishonu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana is the first of all the months of the year. It'd be hard to find a more redundant pasuk than that. And that's why Rashi explains HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem refers to the new moon per se, and Rishonu L'Chodshei Hashana refers to the month. That's because he was stuck to figure out. Or HaChaim says that the bottom of the last page, 7a, maybe it begins at the bottom of the second last page. Right. Tam Kefil Rosh Chodeshim. The reason why, the pshat of why the pasuk is redundant, and then the last page, Niskave Namaki Chodesh Ezehu Rosh Perish Muvchashem Chodeshim. Al Das Oz Bashamayim. Rosh. Aldas Os Basamim Rosh. The Dictate Lomar Lachem Ki Eino Meshubachum Ula Shebachadoshim Eloli Yisrael. The Tim Tashom Rizal Benison Nigalu Benison Asidin Ligol Ki Achodesh Mesuyam Litovas Yisrael. Valze Rishain Hu Ro'oi liyos lachem shumonim minisim letzad ma'alosai. So the Arachayim says what the Torah is saying is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, you should know this is a good month for you. This is a good month. And therefore Rishonu L'Chodesh Hashana, therefore you begin counting with Nisan. So Arachayim says the Kadosh Baruch Hu was megalit to us. The Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us. He gave us this concept. There are good times. Right? He made it part of the calendar that there are good times. So that, I would suggest, might be the beginning of this idea albeit that it comes from the Arachaim and it finds expression amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz as well. The idea, and that might be where this the ninth of Av comes from, right? Just like it says that in Adar we are Marbe v'Simcha, in Nisan Nigalu Asidin Ligoel. So it means there are times during the year when they have been set aside for difficulty, and therefore we should not bait those times unnecessarily. And there are times that are set aside for good as well. And that's, I think, what the where this how we fit this halach and lo sonenu means that if we choose times that had not at all been, we make up our own times, that would be awesome. We make our own track record, that'd be awesome. But if we choose times that Kadosh Baruch Hu determined and Chazal determined, so then that becomes part of the various kochos, the energies that Kadosh Baruch Hu has put into this world. And we'll close with an idea from the Derech Hashem. Reb Chal writes at the very end of Derech Hashem, in the last part, he says that one of the great gifts that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given Klal Yisrael is that we vibe with time. It was given to us through Shabbos and through Yom Tov, that there are certain things that we can accomplish on Shabbos that we can't accomplish during the week. Certain things we can accomplish in a Yom Tov, we can't accomplish otherwise. So Reb Chal says, because that's part of, just like God created this space, and the different kinds of space, different kinds of areas in the world, God created time and the different kinds of time as well. And that's why, that's one of the great gifts that God gave us, is that we have the ability to engage the time of Shabbos and accomplish in Shabbos. Right, that's what we say in the Shemona Esrei. God gave it to Klal Yisrael. God gave Klal Yisrael the time of Pesach. That's the Chodesh. God gave to Klal Yisrael certain connections to certain times. When it comes to Tisha B'Av in the 9 days, those are difficult connections, difficult times. But when it comes to Nisan, so those are good times. That Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all, that we all have Simanim Tovim. We make use of the Simanim as prayers, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Mekayim all of the Simanim Tovim that we try to engage. And thank you very much for joining me on a